President Trump is in Ireland after wrapping his state visit to Britain. But before he left, ears perked up when he told Piers Morgan on Good Morning Britain there's always a chance of military action against Iran. And after a long talk with Prince Charles about climate change, Trump said, despite the almost complete scientific agreement, he still isn't convinced it's human caused.
I believe that there's a change in weather. And I think it changes both ways. Don't forget, it used to be called global warming. That wasn't working. Then it was called climate change. Now it's actually called extreme weather.
Here at home, President Trump is facing Republican opposition to his threat to impose tariffs on Mexico starting next week. So let's bring in our political strategist, Bill Press, former head of the California Democratic Party and host now of the Bill Press podcast. Hi, Bill. Congratulations on the new iteration. And Alice Stewart.
Hello.
Alice Stewart, Republican strategist. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Jeremy. Great to be here.
Okay, so even before landing in the UK, President Trump criticized London's mayor and Meghan Markle. We've heard all about that. He was denying, though, that protests were taking place because he says he didn't see them. Here he is yesterday in a news conference with Prime Minister May.
And then I heard that there were protests. I said, where are the protests? I don't see any protests. I did see a small protest today when I came, very small. So a lot of it is fake news, I hate to say.
Alice, it's not fake news, as you know. You've seen the pictures of the protesters who were there. Maybe the protests weren't as big as some people thought that they would be, but there were protesters. Does truth matter here? I mean, he's saying something that's just not true.
It does matter, and it should matter, and it should be standard protocol for administration officials to acknowledge if there are protesters, there are protesters. And the reality is that unfortunately, some people tend to focus more on the protesters than the progress made during the trip. Look, we might not like the protesters. We may not like the message they gave, but the fact remains they were there. We'll point out, as you did, the numbers were much smaller than in years past, and the message was basically on their support for global warming policies and the president's opposition to such. And they obviously also disagreed with the president's tone and tenor, and they made that quite clear. Mm-hmm. But in the grand scheme of things, as he has left London, there are far more things that are positive and to tout than are negative, which are a result of these protesters.
Well, and we've done analysis elsewhere, but I guess, Bill, I want to ask you, because there has been bad news for the president, whether it's protesters or there's another devastating book from Michael Wolff, much of the insight about Trump in that book from former aide Steve Bannon. And on Morning Edition, Wolff called Trump functionally a madman. Jack Holmes wrote that piece last weekend in Esquire, saying it's time to stop pretending Donald Trump is some particularly eccentric character operating in a functioning democratic system. He is unstable. He is a menace. What do Democrats do? Given that there are people saying this about, the president of the United States, do Democrats press forward and do what some Americans would see as a coup? Start impeachment proceedings? Do they do nothing when many people are saying there's an unstable person in the White House?
Well, let me first of all say that if Donald Trump gets any job after he leaves the White House, it will not be counting crowds. Okay, I mean, I think that's one thing. Because remember the inauguration, it's a small crowd. He said it was the largest ever in history. And now you had 75,000 in the streets of London.
It doesn't seem to matter.
Well, only as in it does matter, as Alice said. The truth does matter. And I think everybody just sees this is Trump being Trump. I mean, I think Alice said there were so many things that were good about this visit. I don't see one thing that was accomplished by this visit. Nothing on Brexit, nothing on a trade deal. He dragged his entire family along and sort of embarrassed everybody. He tweeted nonstop, even after went after Bette Midler from England. But to your question, Robin, I think Democrats just into that side, they let Trump be Trump. They can't make Trump any worse, I believe, than he appears to be. And then they focus on their legislative agenda and show that they were elected to get things done and they got things done. And at the same time, they hold their investigative hearings and we'll see where those go. They may go to impeachment. They may not.
Well, and they've got a new line of investigation that they can pick up on because the New York Times reported this week that Elaine Chao, the Secretary of Transportation, who also happens to be the wife of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, has ties to this big shipping company called Foremost Group. It's her family's shipping business. It's made big donations to her husband, and her efforts to boost it in China were noticed by the Times, where the company has very deep ties, and she didn't disclose it. Alice, you know, these kinds of stories have been problems for Trump cabinet members in the past. A number of them have had to go because of stuff like this. Is this going to be a problem for Elaine Chao?
I don't see it as such. She's done a tremendous job in her role as transportation secretary. But it is a cause for concern with regard to what are the business ties and the business relationships with a lot of people that are serving in our administration at this point. And these are important questions to ask. But this is nothing new. This hasn't happened. This has happened in the past. There were questions about business relationships with Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation and business ties that were in that administration as well. These are nothing new. I would like to think that the questions will be asked and answered, and Secretary Chao can go about her job that she's doing as transportation secretary.
Yeah, can I say, Jeremy?
Yeah,
I think this is worth an investigation to see if there's any real conflict there or not. We don't know. What strikes me about this is that for ties to Chinese businesses and Chinese trade, that this is in direct contrast or conflict with Donald Trump's position on throwing all these tariffs on China. And I just wonder why Elaine Chao has not spoken up about that or maybe even resigned because of it.
Well, so there is that. But I want to ask about this new evidence that surfaced. It was found on a deceased Republican strategist's hard drive. I'm sure strategists everywhere are making a note about that. But Alice, this is documents that pretty clearly show that the administration wanted to add the "Are you a citizen?" question to the census, to frighten away non-citizens and give Republicans and whites an electoral advantage. The documents show that saying, as the administration did before the courts, that they wanted the question to help enforce the Voting Rights Act to help minorities was just a front. Unseemly, unethical. What else?
I see absolutely zero problem with this question being on the census.
Even with the reasoning?
The reasoning behind that, or what they say was the reason behind it, is certainly worth checking into. But why in the world is there a problem with asking, is this person a citizen of the United States? Look, if this was unseemly, or if this is not proper, or in some cases people refer to this as racist, if this is a racist question now, was it racist when it was on President Clinton's extended form census form? Was it racist and unseemly when it was on President Obama's long-form census form? Those are questions that need to be asked. If it was okay then, there should not be a problem with it now.
Bill?
I believe it is absolutely racist, and I think it's clearly political. And I think the word for this is busted. Wilbur Ross is busted. He lied to Congress when he said this was all about getting an accurate count. And this is in court today. It'll be before it's already before the Supreme Court. They're supposed to rule on it by the end of the month. I think it's a no-brainer. The Constitution says the census every 10 years is intended to get to determine, quote, the whole number of persons in each state. And because so many federal dollars are allocated depending on the total number of people, not just the total number of citizens, there are going to be states and cities and counties that will be badly served and underfunded, all kinds of programs from transportation to healthcare, if this stays on the census.
Okay, let's just take a couple minutes for 2020 here. And Joe Biden, again, leading the polls on the Democratic side right now, although we haven't had the debates yet and things could change. But I want to listen to a cut of Pete Buttigieg, the South Bend mayor, who was on an MSNBC forum with Chris Matthews this week. And it just starts to sound like the gloves are coming off. Buttigieg making some comments about what could be Biden. Let's listen.
I guess the point is, if we have a campaign where the theme is, let's go back to normal, then I think it's
going
to...
That's what Biden wants, isn't it? You're suggesting Biden would do that.
I'm not going to talk to anybody else's campaign
strategy. Oh, yes, you are. This is an indirect shot at Biden. Come on.
Look, and he even polled the audience, and they said, yeah, it's about Biden. But, Bill, are the gloves starting to come off as the other candidates look for a path to the nomination?
I hope they are. I think that's what a primary is all about. And the gloves are particularly coming off on the part of Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and Pete Buttigieg and others toward Joe Biden, because he's the front runner and they have to knock him down. That's politics. I must say, though, that Buttigieg may not like it, but what I hear from a lot of Democrats is Yeah, you know, you want somebody who's stable, dependable, whatever, can deliver, and has a proven record, and that does sort of describe Joe Biden.
Well, that was, and look, go ahead.
If you look at it, it makes no sense in a primary, especially this large, to punch down. So they're all going to punch up, and punching up is Joe Biden. And what we're seeing, many of them share the same policies. They're very similar on the issues. So what they do is they try to find a distinct contrast between themselves and Biden. As we heard, Buttigieg is using the generational argument. Sanders and Warren are saying they're a little further left than Biden is. Kamala Harris is touting the fact she is a female and a minority. And Hickenlooper, I don't really suggest this in a primary. He's saying, I'm going to run to the right of Biden. I don't recommend that in a primary. It might work if he got to the general. But all of them are finding their unique contrast with Biden and using them.
Alice Stewart, the Republican strategist, Bill Press, the host of the Bill Press podcast, a Democratic strategist. Thank you both so much.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you.